Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron gave a huge endorsement of Draymond Green's rant about the double standard players face when they want to trade versus when a team wants to trade them. The King posted the clip on social media with the caption, "Facts," and then went on to further back Draymond's point when asked about it after the Lakers win over Minnesota. Take a listen.
It's the narrative of what the league has always been. And, you know, from a team's perspective, they've controlled the narrative. They've controlled the narrative of how players should be, how they should act, how they should, you know, treat their organizations. We just want people to understand that it's two sides of the coin. It's not just one-sided.
We're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. So, Chris, when you listen to what LeBron said there, do you like it?
It was a lot to unpack. I get where he's coming from. In that, you know, he said, because fans tend to side with the owners or with the teams over players. We see this all the time in a lockout, right? Or a strike. The fans, you know, side with the billionaire owners over the millionaire players. Now, there could be many reasons, maybe because they know the players, you know, they see the players all the time. They don't tend to know and see the owners. The players' salaries are, you know, thrown all in their faces. They're advertised all over the place, whereas the owners aren't. Maybe that's a factor. And I think in a society like this that's historically racist, race in a league that's 75% African-American may be a factor as well. So I get where LeBron's coming from. Then he said the teams control the narrative. Now, he's been a victim of that. If you guys remember, when he left Cleveland to go to Miami, the Cavaliers, I'm not even talking about Dan Gilbert's letter, which we all know was terrible. But I'm talking about, you saw stories coming out about any negative thing that LeBron had done in the Cavs organization. You know, any bad attitude or moodiness or whatever. Even stuff in the Olympics. I mean, you saw columns written negatively about these things that LeBron had done all of a sudden coming out. That was obviously coming from the team. So I get his point on that. However, teams don't, especially nowadays, always control the narrative. All right, I have written stories in the past about player arguments with each other, player fights, things in the locker room, players having bad attitudes, players being a cancer, to use Draymond's word. And those stories often came from players on the team or from guys that were good friends with the players or agents. So it's not just the team controlling the narrative. Look, I think people in the media like us, whether you have, you know, a TV show like this or national radio show, you control a lot of the narrative. So where I disagree with LeBron is this notion that teams, you know, that the media is almost a puppet of teams. If that's what, that seemed to be what he was implying. And there are many ways that stories get out and narratives get controlled, including from the players themselves today with social media and things like that. So That's one thing. I was glad LeBron said, remember, he was asked if he totally agreed with Draymond. He said it, but then he was asked, well, what can we do to change it? Because Draymond was calling for change, it looked like. And LeBron said, well, it's not so much that players want change. We just want fans to recognize that there's two sides of the coin, which is true. Recognize that there's two sides to the story. There's the player side and the team side. But I was glad he said we're not looking for change because for the most part, players aren't mistreated.
No.
All right. Yeah, there's maybe some negatives here and there. Yeah. There's negatives here and there to every job. All right. But Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin are still getting paid while they're not playing. All right. And that leads me to Draymond. Because Draymond used some good examples of players being mistreated. Harrison Barnes, right? Pulled from the bench because he was about to be traded. DeMarcus Cousins told during an interview after the All-Star game that he had been traded. That's not the right way to handle it. But here's the thing. Draymond criticized Cleveland for what they're doing with Andre Drummond and by inference, Detroit for Blake Griffin. But that seems to be what he wants. They're being upfront with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. They're not going to be blindsided when they're traded. They've sat down with both and said, look, we're going young. We're rebuilding. We want to help get you into a winning situation. We're going to trade you. And you can give them the choice. Do you want to get benched? You're still in uniform, but now you've been benched. You're not playing at all, or maybe you're playing 15 minutes a night and your stats plummet, your reputation plummets, and people now look at you as a bench player, a role player versus a star. Or we can do it this way and you can just sit out until we trade you. So I think Draymond in a lot of ways was contradicting himself.
What?
Because these two teams today are being upfront with the players. And that's what he seemed like he wanted.
Skip,
it's a lot to unpack.
I just want to say this, and I'm going to turn it over to Skip. So I just want to know, make sure I'm hearing you. So would you have been okay if Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin says, I'm going to sit out until you put me to a team that I can win? I'm not going to play until you trade me into a team.
No.
Would you have been okay with that?
No.
Why not?
No. Because they work for the Detroit Pistons
or the
Cleveland Cavaliers.
But see, that's
Shannon. No employee has the same rights as the employer. LeBron and Draymond have companies. Certainly, LeBron does.
Yes.
Do you think everyone that works for his company has the same rights as he does?
No. That's all I'm saying. If you would have been okay. You doing what the player says, I want to do what's in the best interest of me. The team says, I want to do what's in the best interest of the team and just move forward. So I'm cool with it. Look, if that's the way you're going to handle it, when I want to get out, get me up out of here. No questions asked. But what we've seen, even though with the Supermax, Skip, what have we seen? Guys will forego that Supermax to get to where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis forego the Supermax. So did KD. A lot of guys will forego that Supermax, Chris, that says, I want to be in a winning organization. They put the Supermax in there to keep the players at small markets. They're like, man, forget that Supermax. I'm trying to get up out of here. I'm trying to win.
Mm. So, Chris Broussard.
Quickly, Skip, so, Shannon, yeah. are you saying, I don't get where you're coming from. I don't think it would be all right for a player just to decide I'm not playing till you trade me.
Yeah, I want to get traded. I come to you, Chris. Chris, you my employee. I say, Chris, I want to get traded. I want to go to a winning organization. You're like, I'm not going to be able to do that. I said, well, I'm going to say I'm going to sit down until you do. Because that's what you did.
No. Because that's my contract. I'm paying the contract.
So here's my issue. And I will be the first to admit, in the opening block of this show, I overheated about this issue. I get angry at Draymond's initial position on this, his premise that it's okay for an NBA star under contract to either quit or pout his way out of one situation into another if he's unhappy with said situation. Because a contract for me is a contract. And it angered me that LeBron just co-signed, he validated, he endorsed everything that
Draymond
said. And again, I don't know. They're teammates on Uninterrupted. They're both Clutch clients. I don't know if he just felt like he's my teammate, he's my brother. I need to validate for him because I'm the face of the league. But it infuriates me that this concept is being signed off on by LeBron James, that it's okay to do this. And mostly, we just let it come and go. And listen, NBA players have 10 times the power that NFL players have. The first one ever that's trying to pull this off is Deshaun Watson in Houston. And I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off. Right. He's going to try to do what James did. Yeah. But now, when we come full circle back to a season, is he going to quit his way out of town? Is he going to say, I just won't play? Right. Or I'll play half-heartedly or whatever? Right. I don't get it because a contract is a contract. When LeBron left Cleveland the first time, he was a free agent. When KD went from Oklahoma City to Golden State, he was a free agent. Yes. You cannot criticize it. You can't condemn it. You can condemn the way LeBron left Cleveland the first time because he did so cold-bloodedly. He didn't give an ounce of gratitude back to the fans of Cleveland, and they were infuriated because through the decision, he was so angry with Dan Gilbert, that's what it all was, that he didn't even have the decency to call Dan Gilbert and say, hey, just FYI, I'm going to sign with Miami. Dan Gilbert was left twisting in the wind, and he was so furious, you know how he responded,
right,
with a letter that was completely over the top and over the edge. We get that. But LeBron just didn't handle the PR right of it, but he had every right to go join forces with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I had zero problem with that. But I've seen again and again James Harden. I've seen Kawhi Leonard quit on my Spurs and pout his way out of town. I saw Kyrie hurt. Just, what's that?
He was hurt.
He was hurt. Blah, blah, blah. Quote, unquote. And I forgive him, but I can't forget he did that. And he went and won a championship because of it.
Yep.
And I watched Anthony Davis pout his way out of the Pelicans because it's not like he quit on them, but his heart wasn't in it. And they said, we wasted a whole year. We should have just let him go the first time when Dell Demps was in charge,
yep,
right? And he comes to L.A. and wins the championship. And James goes to the Nets, and they got a shot,
yep,
to win the championship because he quit his way out of Houston. Well, they're all ugly situations. Paul George just said, oh, Kawhi's going to the Clippers? Hey, Sam Presti, I want out. Okay. Let me see what I can get from the Clippers. I'll ship you out there.
Yes.
So these guys under contract have incredible power. If you have star, you got to be a star first.
Yeah.
But again, I'm with Chris. It's hard for me to work up a lot of pity for Andre Drummond. Maybe it's a Dan Gilbert situation. Maybe it's anti-Dan Gilbert. But I think they treated him the best they could treat him. He's out of their plans. They're going to ship him maybe to a contender where he will play far more minutes and have a chance to actually win his first ever playoff game. I just can't hold them accountable for that. I don't think there's any shame in that.
Well, we just disagree.
You know, okay, when David Stern was commissioner, I mean, he you know, Skip, he ruled the NBA an iron fist. And now Adam Silver talks a lot more partnerships. We're partners, this and that, which is good. I think there obviously should be mutual respect. But the players also have to understand you do work for the league and you do work for these teams. We get it. You're superstars and all that. And you get paid more than everybody but the owners. You know, so
Chris, one last point.
I just don't understand how everybody's going to, they're going to get everything the owners get.
Okay, Shannon and I went back and forth about this. The owners do have the right to trade you unless you have a no trade clause,
right,
but they have the right and they won that right through collective bargaining negotiation. If LeBron doesn't like it, he did say, well, I don't want change. I just want both sides of the coin to be made apparent to the fans. But you could go to war in the next collective bargaining negotiation for the right that you won't be traded, right?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron, that's not LeBron. I mean, LeBron is going to do what's in the best interest overall.
Okay.
Because in the best interest overall for LeBron James is to get fair market value.
Okay.
I mean, he's getting $40 million. LeBron James probably should be making $100 million a year based on what he's valued. So he's going to do what's in the best interest of the collection of the NBA
players. Just remember, because they do have the right to trade you, and Chris Broussard is so good at his job, and Woj and Shams are so good at theirs, sometimes these things leak out, and the teams are on the hot seat like they haven't even made the trade official, and they have to go tap Harrison Barnes on the shoulder on the bench and say, you got to get up out of here because you've been traded, and it's already leaked, right? Okay.
So LeBron said, I don't like that.
Okay.
All right, well, lot of opinions.
Skip, to your point with...
No, you're good, Chris.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, with the collective bargaining, I think the owners are really going to try to come hard next time they bargain.
Yeah.
Because they saw James Harden. They saw Anthony Davis. I don't know what they can do, but they will try to take it to the players in the next bargaining. And everyone I've covered, the players lose.
Yep.
Every single one they've lost. Because you're talking about wealthy owners who made their money elsewhere versus rich players who at some point need that paycheck. So it's going to be a lot different probably in the next...
Unless you go, when you do $70 million off the court, we good.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. LeBron's one of the few.
One.
Yeah.
But so that's why, that's why we do what's in the best interest of the team. We don't think about us. Because we just think about us. We like Kick Rock. I want $100 million.
Okay. But you don't have Jordan money.
There you go. See, there you go.
We talk about Jordan.
You see what I'm saying?
Happy birthday, Michael.
Should we rename the show a celebration for Michael Jordan?
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Sunday on Fox, the NASCAR Cup Series returns to Daytona as Chase Elliott looks to defend his win at the 14-turn road. All the action starts Sunday, 2:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Well, Deshaun Watson still wants out of Houston, and Panthers insider David Newton predicted Carolina could give up 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey to get the job done. The Panthers have made QB a priority this offseason and reportedly offered Teddy Bridgewater and the 8th overall pick to the Lions for Matthew Stafford before Detroit decided to make a deal with the Rams instead. Now, they could look to part with their best player and leverage their draft future to get the guy. Shannon, is this too much or not enough to get Deshaun Watson here?
The leverage that Deshaun has, Skip, is that he has a no-trade clause. So he's going to have to agree to waive that to go anywhere they potentially could possibly want to trade him.
Yep.
Now, that's the King's ransom. 3 number ones, Christian McCaffrey. You're probably going to have to throw in Teddy Bridgewater also, Skip. But the question is Deshaun Watson, does he really want to go to Charlotte? Now, I don't know if Charlotte, but I feel comfortable in saying that Charlotte is probably not high up on the list of teams that he would be interested in going to. And so that's the problem that you're going to run in. Skip, if he wanted out, he had no trade clause. Mm-hmm. You could trade him anywhere you wanted to. No questions asked. But because he's going to have to waive that no trade clause, he's basically going to pick where he wants to go. But we're in the ballpark. You know it's going to take three first-rounders, because if Matthew Stafford got two first-rounders at 32, what's a 25-year-old going to get in his prime? It's going to take you at least that, and they're going to want some young players. So Carolina is on the right path, and I believe that's what other teams are going to have to – you're going to have to start with the three first-round picks, Skip, and you're going to have to start with some quality, two quality players. And maybe might have to go throw in a third rounder just for good measure.
Maybe.
But I don't know if Charlotte, if the Carolina Panthers, mm-hmm. is high on Deshaun's priority list of locations he wants to start his career over at.
Mm. So I'm on record yesterday with you that there's nothing that's too much for Deshaun Watson.
No.
This is a first in the history of this league.
Mm-hmm.
A 25-year-old quarterback, proven commodity.
Mm-hmm.
We can go back and forth how good he is,
yeah.
top 10, top 5. I think he's
yeah.
top 2 or 3.
Yeah.
He's on the market, maybe, but it's going to take 5 king's ransoms. It's going to take more than you can even imagine, and he will be worth every last
yes.
penny of
yes.
it, because he can win you a championship.
Yes.
He is that good.
Yes.
We know it. We don't know Trevor Lawrence. You think so.
Right.
But you don't know that for a fact. Looks like he's the next it kid. You know, like
I've seen Deshaun do this at the highest level.
You have. You saw it in college.
Yes.
You've seen it in professional football for a sorry franchise and team. And if you get him in a happy place with a much better team, better run team, Lord knows what might happen. Well, Super Bowls could happen,
right.
and they could be plural.
Right.
Okay.
If he gets you one, it's worth it.
Okay. So Carolina. Would he be at all intrigued about playing in the Carolinas? He played at South Carolina,
right.
Clemson, obviously.
Which is close, very close.
Very close. He's from the South. He's from
Gainesville, Georgia.
Okay. Would that appeal to him a little bit? Maybe a little bit.
Right.
But if I'm Deshaun, I'm thinking, well, wait a second. I'm undercutting myself because they're going to have to give so much for me.
Right.
It's going to hurt my chances
right.
there.
Right.
Because I'm not as big a Christian McCaffrey fan as you are, because
right.
you grew up, I mean, he grew up around you.
right.
You watched him grow up in the locker
yeah.
room, right?
Yep.
But I love him as a kid. We had him on the Super Bowl a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and he is top rate, top drawer. You know, his character is high as you can
yep,
get.
Right.
He will give you every ounce
right.
of what he's got.
Right.
He's going to get beat up because he's not quite big enough
right.
to carry the ball and
mm-hmm.
catch the ball that many times, but still. He's a very good football player.
Right.
Proven commodity.
Right.
Well, Deshaun would say, well, wait a second, I don't have him.
Right.
You know, because he's going back for me.
And I
right?
think that's one of the things, Skip, that you guard against. The Melo situation going to the Knicks.
That's it.
Melo thought, yeah. man, look, they got some great players. But to get you, they had to send all those players to the Nuggets.
Right.
And so when you got it, you're like, well, what the heck? I thought.
Yeah. And then your whole draft future has gone back to Houston.
So okay. now you can't draft. So he's like, hold on. Y'all get, okay, now we get nothing in the draft coming for the next 3 years, and that's fine. And you take away my best weapon?
Yep. Okay. So, Jets. Everybody says, Jets.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you're going to get back Sam Darnold. You were a fan of him before the
yep.
draft. I was not.
Yes.
Does Houston really want Sam Darnold? I wouldn't. I don't think he would be your future. Okay?
Well, you don't necessarily have to take Sam Darnold,
no.
but you could take Sam Darnold and then take that second pick and go in a different direction. Or you could say, no, I want the three first-round pick, one of them which is the second pick in this year's draft,
yep.
and get Zach Wilson or get a
you
guy that
get.
You want and move forward like that. So, maybe you say, you know what? I don't want Sam Darnold. Give me three first-rounders. Give me a 3 and a 4, and we'll call it a day.
All
and
right.
you do what you need to do with Sam Darnold.
Okay, I'm going to say what I proposed from the start. The deal that makes the most sense to me for both parties is Jacksonville. I know it's in the division.
Right.
But still, Urban Meyer just had a rough week with that Iowa strength coach.
I don't know what he was
saying. It was a debacle. Well, it was a debacle, and they fixed it.
Yeah.
But how great would it be to say, well, we go get Deshaun,
right.
and we're going to give you Trevor Lawrence. So you can start over with the next generation's.
I still believe they're going to want right. Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to want another first-round
okay,
pick.
Well, that's fine. I would do that if I'm
right.
Jacksonville. Because
they got $70 million in cap space.
Hey.
With Deshaun Watson, you can build a fortress around him.
Yes, and Houston can sell Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Like, we're starting fresh
right.
with the best prospect in the last, what, decade?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so that fits for me, even though it's within the division, because Deshaun would say, okay, I'm going to go there. They got some pieces
right.
there. back to no state income tax, right, so right. we can acquire right. free agents. Yes. I'll be a free agent magnet like Brady was.
Right.
And here you'd go. That's the one that makes sense because it gives Houston hope. It gives you something right. to start with right. that you can bank on, you can bet on.
And to your point, Skip, about the Trevor Lawrence, I've heard people say, I think Mel Kiper said this, there have been four can't-miss quarterbacks since he's been doing this, and he's been doing it 40 years.
Yep.
He said Elway, he said Peyton Manning, he said Andrew Luck, and now this kid, Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
He says, those are the four can't-miss that you... So if you get an opportunity, yes, I believe... But like I said, Skip, because he has that no trade, if Deshaun wants to go play in Jacksonville.
Okay, I don't know, but... It's a deal that would work.
Yeah. I like 49ers. Me, Skip, right. I was there from the first time this came out. Okay, I said the 49ers would be perfect for him.
Okay, that's fine. Then John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan,
they're not going to make the mistake they made last year by not pursuing Tom Brady.
They should have pursued Tom Brady for 2 or 3 years. I agree, because he could have gone home, literally
right.
gone home.
Right.
But in this case... They should bet the ranch on Deshaun. Whatever it takes to get him, they should just go get him.
If I know if Kyle is just like his father, he will bet the ranch on his kid.
They are. They're like that. I think John Lynch is a plunger also.
Yes.
So
yes.
I would not rule them out of this derby.
But I don't, like I said, Skip, that's a premium packet, three firsts, and arguably the best running back in football or the top three running back in football. I mean, right now I like the big kid in King Henry.
Yep.
But... That's a King's ransom, Skip. That's a start. So basically, Carolina just gave everybody the blueprint.
That's
okay,
it.
This
I
is
agree.
The starting point.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see how this all plays out because every day it feels like something new.
No mercy.
When asked about playing the Nets Big Three for the first time on Thursday, LeBron James pumped the brakes on calling it an unprecedented collection of talent, reminding reporters, quote, "Have we forgotten about KD, Steph, and Clay already? I mean, there you go. There you go, right there." LeBron, of course, lost back-to-back finals to the Warriors Big Three that he referenced right there. Chris Broussard is back joining us on Undisputed. So, Chris, do you agree with LeBron here?
Well, first, I'm guessing that Skip senses an ulterior motive.
Oh.
But I won't go there. I'll be interested in seeing what he says. But I'm going with the Golden State guys, the Steph, Clay, and KD. And I've got five reasons why. Number one, the pieces fit together better. When those three, you know, when KD went to Golden State, we had no questions about whether or not it was going to work. Because none of the guys are ball dominant. None of them needed the ball in their hands a lot to be effective and give you 20-plus points. Obviously, James Harden and Kyrie have been ball dominant. They dribble it a lot, which can make it more difficult to fit together. Now, they're fitting together great offensively, but theoretically, their games are a lot more ball dominant than the Golden State guys. Two, Golden State was better defensively. And I'm not just talking about Draymond Green, who's not even a part of this conversation. You had KD, who was younger, and I'm sure was a better defender at that point than he can be at this point, a little older, off an Achilles injury. And then Klay Thompson was a legitimately very good defender. He made an all-NBA defensive team. Steph obviously is in the category of Harden and Kyrie. None of them are really great defenders. The third thing, better shooters. As well as Harden and Kyrie shoot, and they are great shooters, Steph Curry is the best shooter in NBA history. So good that he changed the game. He literally changed the way the NBA is played because he's such a great shooter. And Klay is arguably the second greatest shooter of all time. Again, that enables you to fit better together. And certainly for today's game, the better shooters, I mean, that's a huge thing you have. Fourth, no drama. They were low-maintenance guys in Golden State. KD had a little drama, but for the most part, that's a low-maintenance group. In Brooklyn, I love his game, but I got to worry about Kyrie. He was playing great at the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden just went AWOL. Is that going to happen again? Is Kyrie going to be happy the entire season playing shooting guard? Or will he get the itch to have the ball in his hands more again? Even last night, why was Kyrie sitting out? I know they said back tightness, but I bet you he plays the next five games. and is fine and plays great. Like, they need to be on the floor as much as possible. KD is legitimately injured, hamstring. But Kyrie, Harden, they don't need to be just sitting out to rest. All right, so the drama quotient is there. And then here's the final thing. Steph and Klay, before KD got there, they proved that they could lead a team to a championship. They proved they didn't need this transcendent LeBron or KD or somebody like that to lead them to a championship. They didn't need a stacked team. They did it on their own. KD was certainly the best player on those Golden State teams, but he went to a champion already. He has still yet to prove he can lead his own team to a championship, even though he was the best player. Kyrie hit one of the greatest shots in NBA history, maybe the greatest. But obviously, that was LeBron's team. Kyrie hasn't had much playoff success without LeBron James yet. And we know Harden has yet to prove that he can lead a team to a championship. So for all of those reasons, I'm going with Golden State.
Well, I don't like to disagree with you, but I'm going to have to disagree with you. And I say KD is KD, so that's a push. And although James Harden is not the shooter that Steph is, he can do things that Steph can't because he can get to the basket and he shoots as many free throws. So we've seen James Harden average 35, 36 points a night. So I'm going to say just for this argument right here, Chris, I'm going to say Steph and James Harden are a push. Now, because even though Kyrie is not the pure shooter that Klay is, what he can do with the basketball, Klay can't do. Klay's not putting the ball on the floor and finishing at the rim like this kid can. This kid has mid-range. He has the three. He shoot the. You follow me. Go to the free throw line. He has a better all-around offensive game than Klay Thompson. So I'm gonna give him the edge on that. They average about 5 points more per game. James Harden has basically said, you know what? I'm gonna be the conventional point guard. I'm gonna average somewhere between 11 and 12 assists a night. And my average is going to come down substantially from what it was the last 3 or 4 years. Skip, he was like 32, 33 points a game over the last 3 or 4 years. He's probably going to average somewhere around 24, 25. Not very many guys are willing to concede. Say, you know what? I'll let you slash 8, 9 points off my average or what I've been averaging for the betterment of the team. When I look at this, just those three, Klay, Steph, KD versus James Harden, KD, and Kyrie, I ain't seen anything like this. There's never been a guys that can handle the ball, that can put the ball in the basket like these three guys can. No, sir. Mm. Now, they're going to have to pay it off,
Chris. What about defense?
No. Defense? Yeah, that's what I told Skip. The Golden State Warriors were a better defensive team. And they're going to have to pay, ultimately, in order for them to be judged correctly, they're going to have to pay it off with a championship. But if you just look at player for player and skills, nah, this right here, we ain't never seen anything like this.
Thank you, Shannon Sharp. Are you listening, LeBron James?
You know,
and Maverick and Rich and Randy. Did you hear what he just said? Give me the KD Nets. Give me the KD Mets. Nets, excuse me. And by the way, Chris, back to your first question. It was like 2 hours ago, but... Yes, LeBron has an ulterior motive. He's trying to defend his legacy here, and I do not blame him for that, but he's going to fail because we have never seen a three-man offensive firepower like these three Nets. And I do think KD is a push, and I don't think he's lost much, if any, on defense at age, what is he, 30?
32, probably.
Yeah. But again, he looks like KD to me far.
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, no drama in Golden State? Well, maybe it wasn't public, but man, there was some private drama going on between KD and Steph, the jealousy that emanated there. And finally, KD versus Draymond got really ugly in the end, and that's why KD is no longer there. Okay, so back to KD push, because it's KD versus KD.
Right.
But hey, I'm sorry, James Harden is just a better all-around player than Steph Curry. They have both struggled in the postseason because I can show you a bunch of Steph numbers when they blew that 3-1 lead to LeBron's Cavaliers, obviously. He came up even smaller than he is. So they've both struggled in the postseason. But James is a better all-around scorer than Steph. Look at 40-point games. James has 99 to 39 for Steph. Better point guard? James is He's like got offensive genius as a point guard that we're just see flourishing now. Mm-hmm. And rebounding, James is a triple-double waiting to happen because he can get you 13 or 14 rebounds. And he has in his career 51 triple-doubles to Steph's 7. So, again, defensive disruptor. Who's better? I think James is a better defensive disruptor than Steph is.
And what we're seeing from Steph this year, what we haven't seen in the past, we've seen him going to the rim more.
Yep.
Steph didn't normally go to the rim like we're seeing him go to the rim this year. That's a James Harden specialty.
It is. I would agree. Kyrie is a better all-around scorer than Klay.
Yeah.
Klay can get even hotter than Steph can get. We know that.
Right.
But Kyrie, man, he's got 130-point games in his career to 57 for Klay. I'm sorry, if you want to start going down to Draymond versus Joe Harris or whatever you want to do, then it starts to get
I'm doing three versus three,
yeah,
yep.
And I will take the KD three in Brooklyn over the Golden State three.
See, I think you're looking at it individually, and obviously those guys are great individuals, but I could have stacked up, if I stacked up LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love, versus Klay, Draymond, and Steph. I'm taking the three from Cleveland all day, every day. And granted, we know Kyrie and Love got hurt, so they didn't play in that first series,
right,
you know, but the first game. But I'm just saying, like, individually, I'm looking more as a team aspect, where I need somebody that can defend. I need the guys to fit together better. I get where you're coming from, because obviously those three guys are great. But what if they don't win? What if they win one ring in their tenure together? Can we really say that those three were better than the group in Golden State?
Well, they're gonna have to pay it off with multiples. But I think the thing is, what we're seeing thus far is that the struggles that I thought they would have, I haven't seen. This has been a seamless transition to me, because James Harden has been the point. Kyrie is playing his natural position, which is the two, and he's been dynamic. KD is KD. KD can play 1 through 4 if he wants to. So it doesn't really. KD is the outlier, because he was going to be unimpacted by anything that they did, because he's just that great. But James Harden has come in and done his last night.
Mm.
See, I'm not surprised by last night, because James Harden just did that for the last 8 years in Houston. You see James Harden go solo. You get a couple of guys that can make some threes, and now he opens up the floor, and guess what he started doing? Getting to the hole, left hand, and one. Kick to Joe Harris, Tyler Johnson, Cabarro.
TLC.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, now, but you know what, Chris? But when you look at it, yes, individually, but you must admit, they played better together than you thought they would at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I envisioned real problems on the offensive end.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. And there's none. The problem is defense. If there's going to be a problem, it's going to be defense.
So, Chris, nobody I know knows the NBA better than Shannon Sharp. So I'm going with his opinion about this. He's saying KD Nets. I'm going with Shannon Sharp.
Oh, we got some. Hey,
over. It's done.
Hey, we got a can for him on Thursday too, Chris. We got a can for him.
Yeah, have we already made a bet on this one? We did, right?
Not yet. We got to see
who's playing. We have to wait and decide who's playing. Okay.
No mercy.
Saturday, it's a Fox College Hoops blockbuster as 10th-ranked Villanova battles UConn, followed by number 5 Illinois taking on Minnesota. It all tips off Saturday at 12:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Zion Williamson shine in last night's 144-113 win over the Grizzlies, dropping 31 points on 13-for-16 shooting. With the performance, Zion became the only player in league history to average more than 23 points on 60%+ shooting in his first 50 career games. The 20-year-old was confident this is only the beginning, telling reporters after, quote, "I definitely feel a lot more comfortable, but you know me. I know there's always room to grow, so I'm just going to keep building on it." Shannon, is Zion overrated or underrated?
No, he's not overrated. He's what I thought he would be at this point in time, Skip. He's a young player that he understands that he's going to have to expand his game. Skip, he's only attempting 2 shots outside of 5 feet. So as he starts to age, he's going to have to open his game up. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to shoot the ball from the outside the paint.
Yep.
It's not going to always be dunks and layups. And if he can expand his game, because he's so explosive, he's so quick. So he's 24, 60% shooting, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. I would like to see, Skip, there's no reason He shouldn't be averaging double-digit rebounds. He should be Charles Barkley. He's more explosive than Charles Barkley, and we know what Charles Barkley was when he came out, Skip. So I'm surprised he's not averaging more rebounds, but the points, he's explosive. Mm. What I am surprised by is how little defense he plays. He doesn't even care on that end, Skip. I don't know what that is. And that's why they're in the position that they're in, because you would think they got a tandem that's the second or third highest scoring tandem between him and B.I. Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. And they have the record they have because they don't play any defense.
Yep.
But he's what I thought he would be. And when he expands his game, you're going to see Zion take that game to the next level.
Mm. I like your assessment. I'm still thinking and seeing that he's an underrated offensive force because I have never seen anything like this young man.
He's so quick.
20 years of age. When he wheels to the basket, when he spins, it's with such explosive quickness for a man that big.
Yes.
He has such raw but controlled power and then such a soft touch at the rim, ambidextrous.
Yeah,
it's a combination of forces you've never seen
before. His body control for a man that size, you might not ever see it again.
So we've seen him on a 6-game holy terror in which he's making 70% of his shots. To your point, they're all mostly at the basket.
Right.
He sat down last night and took a three and just swished it. He's making 78% of his free throws. So where is all that? You can do that.
Yes.
I saw it at Duke. He'd shoot jump shots at Duke.
Yep.
I don't see any of that.
Right.
I saw him rebound the ball at Duke. I don't see that here. I saw him block shots at Duke. I don't see much of that at all. So what is happening? Where are you? And I also see him get lost in the offense because they don't feature him at all. What he gets sometimes just by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's late in the clock. Oh, let's dump it down to Zion, see if he can wheel on somebody. Right?
Yep.
He and Brandon Ingram do not connect to me. We're talking about the Nets fit together. They don't fit, and Brandon's taking 18 shots a game, Zion 16 shots, but Zion's come every once in a while.
Right.
You know, willy-nilly, sporadic. And boy, listen, Brandon Ingram, when he gets the ball in his hands, it is usually going up.
Yeah.
So to your point, this team is 12-15 because it's second to worst in defensive efficiency.
Yeah.
It's seventh best in offensive efficiency. So they got that going.
And what's Stan Van Gundy's hallmark, Skip? He's a defensive guy.
Supposedly. I'm not. Listen,
You haven't seen it, huh?
I first guessed it. I don't love him. And he's older school, and I don't know if he's speaking their language yet.
Right.
I don't know if he's getting through to them yet. And yet, your biggest issues, your biggest concerns about Zion, can he stay healthy?
Right.
Is he fit enough?
I've been impressed, Skip, because they're playing these games every other day, and he's out there playing 25, 30 minutes a night.
And he's played 26 or 27 games. He's averaging 33 minutes a night. That's beyond what you sort of half expected of him, right?
Yes,
You thought that was going to be a problem. I don't know if he'll ever get in great shape, but whatever shape he can get in, he's in it right now because he's running up and down the floor.
Skip, he's unbelievable. Like I said, you and I both agree on this. He's 24. He should be 24-11, 24-12.
Mm-hmm.
He should be a
24
double,
points.
You're right.
Yeah.
He should be a double-double guy. There ain't no reason he should be averaging 7 rebounds with his jumping ability and his that body to be able to just box out and just grab rebounds. So he should be a double-double guy.
Hey. He can score 30 a game with no problem.
Yes.
He could lead this league in scoring without a lot of sweat to me because he just got all the tools to do that. Remember, he's only 20. He's now played a grand total of 50 NBA games, 5-0 NBA.
Right.
That would be it for a full 82-game season. That's 61% of a full season.
Right.
Okay, well, let's just hang on here and see what evolves because he is still evolving, but not on the defensive
end. And that's what you want to see, Skip. You want to see, and that's what guys do. Guys that become great in this league, you look at Dame from year one to look at Dame Lillard now. You look at Steph from year one, year two to look at him now. Look at LeBron. Skip, remember everybody, back off, stand up under the basket. He can't shoot.
True.
He can't make it. And that's what you're going to, that's the step that Giannis is going to have to take. He's going to have to start making those shots. Eventually, they're going to say, Zion, we're just not going to let you dunk the ball tonight.
That is
shoot
correct.
The ball outside.
You better believe it.
And so that's what's going to, and especially if they're fortunate enough to make the playoffs, they're going to build a wall like they built it for Giannis.
I think they try to build walls for him, and they can't keep him away. He is quicker and more explosive than Giannis.
Skip, you got it. Because if he gets the ball down to the block, he's wheeling or he's facing you up, and then that first step, he's so quick. And then his second step, he could lay the ball up, miss it, and grab it again before the other guy realized what just happened.
I agree.
But well, he's fun to watch, Skip. They got 144 points in regulation.
And they're 12 and 15.
They're 12 and 15.
And not play, in the playoffs.
They don't play no defense, yeah. Skip.
Well, it's just the beginning.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.